little known fact about me. One summer during Bible college, I was a summer student at an optometric office. I don't know why that's funny. Yeah, it's funny. It's unusual. I know, I'm a Bible college student, summer studying as an optometric assistant. So I learned a lot about eyes, obviously. And I also learned a lot about focus, but probably not in the way that you would expect. See, I was running patients through a test of their extended field of vision, you know, figuring out where all their blind spots are and everything like that. And I remember one patient in particular. And before we got started, we had been chatting, and he seemed like a really cheerful, optimistic man. He had like that light in his face, a smile on his face the whole time. So anyways, as the exam goes on, in this small, dark little room, the results start showing up in a series of zeros, ones, and twos. And by this point in the summer, I had come to figure out kind of what the normal results looked like. Now, as this gentleman's results came up, I quietly started to cry. As I realized that his field of vision had already reduced so much. And I was thinking about the fact that he probably couldn't see well the faces of those he loved. His wife, his kids, his grandkids, his friends. This man had a lot to be stressed about as his eyes failed him. His visual focus was declining, but it was evident by his disposition that he was focusing elsewhere. Why don't you guys join me in prayer? We're just going to agree in prayer together really quick. God, we thank you that what's happening outside and what's happening inside, they don't have to match up, God. Our circumstances don't always guarantee if we are stressed or not stressed, God. So I just pray that you would continue to help us to turn our gaze to you, to turn our focus to you as we hear from your word, God, and as we, yeah, God, just show us the places where our focus is right now. Show us the places that we've brought in stress this week. Amen. So the focus of our Anxious for Nothing series is found in Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. Now, in the New Testament version, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7 says this: "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again in case you weren't listening. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Be anxious for nothing. But in every situation, the good ones, the bad ones, the ones you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, that mind-blowing peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, last week, Pastor Zach talked about the anxiety and depression that Elijah ran himself into and the practical steps that God had given him to get him out of that place. Take a nap. Have some food. And most importantly, remember that God is near. If you remember, Paul wrote our key passage here while he was a prisoner in Rome. Now, up until now, his journey to Rome had been wonderful. It had been carefree, right? No, far from it. Far from it. Paul had been in and out of prison, flogged, whipped, pelted with rocks, beaten with rods, shipwrecked 3 times, and the list goes on and on. I didn't want to take up half the sermon just going through, but you can read the rest, 2 Corinthians 11. Of all people, he had plenty to be stressed about. So what was Paul's secret? When he had a life of being on the go constantly, daily pressures, he was always concerned for all the churches, how was he not stressed? So we're going to go a little bit further in our Philippians passage here really quick. Verses 8 and 9, this is what they say. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Think about such things. Think about such things. Focus on such things. Focus on the things that are true and right and noble and pure and lovely. Think about such things. Our focus will be the cause or cure of stress. So what is your heart focused on? What is your mind focused on? Think about such things. Your focus will be the cause or cure of stress. Now, the passage I want to take you to next is a great picture of two people who have very different focuses. So if you turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. And while you're looking for that, I'm going to tell you a little bit of kind of how we got to this place in the book of Luke. Excuse me. Jesus and his disciples had been traveling from town to town. Now, this is some 2,000 years ago, so he wasn't driving. He wasn't even taking the Greyhound. I don't know if you have that bus around here. Anyways, he's walking. And it's not like a nice autumn day where you kind of have a light jacket. No, this is the Middle East people. Like, it's hot. So him and his disciples, they're walking, they're hot, they're tired, they're thirsty. The passage just before this saw Jesus, you know, he's teaching, he's healing. The passage right before this is actually one where Jesus is teaching through a parable, the Good Samaritan. All right, so if everybody found verse 38, this is where we're going to start. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, again, hot, stinky, sweaty, thirsty, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be done. She came to him and she said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister left everything to me? Make her help." Sorry, when I read this, I think of like a petulant child, all right? So I just had to read it like that. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So where was the focus of Mary and of Martha? We're going to look at Martha first here. And primarily Martha, because there's a couple places she was focusing on. Jesus said to Martha, "Martha, Martha, you are stressed and busy." Church, what are you worried and upset about in your life? What's stressing you out? there's probably not many of us that could say they live a stress-free life, I dare say. I want you guys to turn to the person next to you and just let them know what's stressing you out this week. Maybe it's work, money, health issues, your kids, your marriage, your school, not having enough time in the day. I'm hearing some all of the aboves. All right. So Martha, like me, gifted with hospitality. She liked to be hospitable. She loves to serve Jesus in practical ways. Jesus and his disciples, like I said, probably arrived tired and hungry from their journey. And at the heart of what she's going about doing was a desire to serve Jesus. Not a bad thing, wanting to serve Jesus. And yet she was stressed. So if your focus will be either the cause or cure of your stress, where was Martha's focus? Let's look back at that passage again. Verse 40 says, "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made." Jesus' response, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few are needed, or indeed only one." Martha's motivations were good. She wanted to serve Jesus. She wanted to do it with excellence. She wanted to use what she had to serve. She wanted to use what God had given her to make a difference where she was. Martha, though, was caught up in this excess instead of enough. It turned her good motivations into too much of a good thing. What would have been a good thing for these weary travelers? A simple meal, some water, to spend time with their hosts. But Martha ended up with too much of a good thing. She was going way too far. She was preparing an extravagant meal at the cost of spending time with her important guest. We can get too much of a good thing, you know. I thought about this. What is too much of a good thing? And you've probably heard some of these. Antibiotics. If you have a bacterial infection, antibiotics, good thing. Too much antibiotics, you got superbugs. Not a good thing. Healthy food. You ever think you could get too much healthy food? You can. Think about, okay, carrots. Let's look at carrots alone. Healthy food? Yes, we can all agree. Are you going to be healthy if you eat only carrots? No. There's going to be a lot lacking. Also, your eyes are going to turn orange. Anyways. Even water, something we need to sustain life. If you push it far enough, you can get too much water. Martha was serving Jesus, but even that turned into too much of a good thing, because her focus shifted from Jesus to the work she was doing. When Jesus repeated her name, "Martha, Martha," he was gently but firmly correcting her. Jesus was saying something like, "Martha, take a step back. Look at where your focus is. You are doing way more than you need to. Stop. Come be with me." Now I want to pause here for a second, because I didn't want to preach this. Zach was like, hey, what are you preaching on for your stress sermon? And I was like, oh, I got these ideas. I'm thinking this, maybe this. He's like, I want you to preach on the story of Mary and Martha. And I was like, no, I'm going to preach on this. He's like, no, I want you to preach on the story of Mary and Martha. Why? Why? I realized I had this, like, this hurt, this offense that I'd been carrying for years. Anytime I heard this preached, I was like, ugh. And I'd stop listening. So when Zach kept bringing it up, and over the last, like, 2 months, he's brought it up a lot. So in the back of my mind, I'm like, Zach, enough with that passage. And so it finally hit me. Oh, maybe I should look at why this hurts me. Oh, maybe God's telling Zach to bring this up over and over and over again for a reason. He's saying, Janetta, take a step back and look at this, would you? Okay. So why would I stop listening at this point? Okay, so I'm a detail-oriented person. I hear the big picture from someone, and the flood of details hit me, and I get to work. The details are important, and taking care of them can look really busy, but it's important. So for years, listening to people stop after they rebuke Martha for her busyness, her service to Jesus, I was hurt. It seemed like every time I heard this, I was just thinking how I'm wired is somehow wrong. I felt that I was built to be hospitable, built to see the little tasks that needed to get done, and was driven by the desire to just serve by silently going about it. No one ever told me that what Martha was doing was not the issue. The issue was her focus. Martha got so caught up in using her gift that she lost sight of the gift giver who was sitting in her living room. The gifts we're given, our talents, skills, abilities, are good. We are supposed to use them to make a difference wherever God puts us. But hear me when I say this. The gift is not greater than the giver. Being busy with what God has gifted you in and called you to isn't necessarily a bad thing. Whether it's in your job, your home, your school, your sports, or here at Cornerstone, but you need to take some time to focus on the gift giver. Because where your focus is will be the cause or cure of your stress. So here's our first take home from Martha. Take time to focus on God. Excuse me. Martha had Jesus in her home. He's chilling there in her living room. And she still managed to focus on something else. So we might come down hard on Martha for that, right? But think about this. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us every minute of every day, and still we can lose focus of him. We need to be intentional and take time to focus on God. Martha lost her focus of her special guest and instead was focusing on her special preparations, causing her to be stressed. We use our gifts in lots of different ways. Some of you academic type at school. Some of you at work. You know, the job that you were put in, likely God gave you special skills and tools to be able to do that well. Sports practice. Some of you probably have a lot more coordination than me. In your homes, in your neighborhood, here at Cornerstone, no matter what our gifts are or where we are, we can lose focus of God even when we're using our gifts to serve him, using our gifts to serve other people. I couldn't tell you how many times I finished leading a kid's service only to realize that I was focused on finishing that service, not focused on encountering God during that service. That happened to anybody else? So there's something else that we see Martha focusing on in verse 40. She came and asked him, Or she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Make her help me. Jesus' response to Mary was, or to Martha was, Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary had been helping with preparations before Jesus arrived, but then she, when he came, she sat at his feet. Now that is the place where disciples would sit and learn from their teacher. She chose a place of receiving, of listening. She wanted to hear everything that Jesus had to say. So Mary wasn't being lazy. She knew the importance of the guest and meeting their needs, but she wanted to listen to everything he had to say. Mary chose to focus on Jesus while he was with them. Martha, on the other hand, was so stressed about this huge dinner that she was mad at Mary and even accused her of having the wrong focus, ironically. You know, and I was talking to somebody about this morning, actually. Social media is such a huge part of our culture today. Some people might not spend so much time on it, but in general, it's becoming a big part of our culture. We use it to stay in touch with loved ones. That's good. We use it to share what's happening in our lives. Still, good things. Find new recipes. Find ideas for our next vacation. Check out the latest fashion trends. You can't go, though, on any social media platform without coming across someone different from you. Can you? I mean, you can't look around this room without finding someone different from you. Whether you see someone that has more money than you, less money than you, is thinner than you, is bigger than you, is stronger than you, weaker than you, has more time than you, does more than you. The list really, it goes on and on. There's so much temptation to compare ourselves to others that we see on social media and, you know, in the world around us. Sometimes this comparison makes us feel lesser, makes us feel less. Sometimes the comparison makes us feel superior. Either way, comparing ourselves to others takes our focus away from God, how he created us to be, what he's called us to do. When we compare ourselves with someone else, we forget that we are all wired differently. I think that's in the Bible. From our gifts and talents down to our personality, Martha's natural inclination was to serve, this kind of active service that she wanted to do, hospitality. Mary's, on the other hand, was this inclination to receive. Martha compared her active nature to her sister's contemplative nature. This comparison took the focus off of Jesus and put it onto the differences she saw between her and her sister. The church needs Mary's, and the church needs Martha's. Both are valuable, and more importantly, both can learn from one another. Focusing on comparisons caused Martha even more stress, because your focus is the cause or a cure of stress. We are all gifted so differently. And I think we all know and believe that. And yet, when we walk into church on Sunday morning, there's kind of this, there's this thing we can fall into. We can fall into this comparison. Maybe we see someone on a stage, and that makes us think that our gifts are worth less. Or maybe we hear someone whose joyful noise isn't quite in tune, and we think more of our gifts. I can sing better than them. But is that what we should be doing? This focus on ranking our gifts leads us to forget the need for diversity in the body. A church full of Janettas would not be a healthy church. All right? And as awesome as you guys are, a church full of just yous would be a lopsided church. As Paul mentioned to the Corinthians, or reminded the Corinthians, a body made up of eyes could not hear, and a body made up of ears could not smell. We need to quit playing the comparison game. And that's our second takeaway from Mary. Quit playing the comparison game. For some of us, this means we got to cut back on the social media, because it's just this thing that reaches out and is like, hey, look at these people. They're different. For some of us, it means just reminding ourselves that we're gifted differently than others. And that's a good thing. Quit playing the comparison game. Martha, despite her good intentions, missed an opportunity to hear from Jesus. She was stressed because her focus was on the wrong things. Her focus was on doing and what her sister was not doing, and it caused her stress. Mary, on the other hand, was focused on Jesus, and she was just there in that moment. I'm gonna ask the worship team to come up now, because in a moment I want you guys to have another opportunity to just stop, spend some time with Jesus, shift your focus to God. These are just two of the things. We have, Mary taught us these two lessons. The first was take time to focus on God. The second was quit playing the comparison game. And these are just two of the things that we can focus on that can take away our focus from Jesus. There are so many other things we can get wrapped up in that can bog our minds down. Now, last week, Zach talked about a holistic approach to dealing with anxiety, because there's this connection between our mental and physical and spiritual health. But our minds, like I said, can get so bogged down. Thinking about a million things a day, it can be hard to focus on just one thing, even if that one thing is Jesus. This week, though, maybe your next step is to free up some space in the attic of your mind. Get rid of some of that mental clutter that stops you from taking a break and focusing on Jesus. Now, we found a great tool to share with you. It's called Brain Detox. It gives you some ideas of things that you can add to your routine and take away from your routine to give your mind a little breathing space. Give you a little fewer things to focus on this week that are going to distract you and cause stress. I encourage you to take a look through it. I have some here. And then ask God what you can change in your routine to detox your brain so you can better focus on Him. And more importantly, listen to His answer and obey. Now, the pastor who published this resource wrote it for a secular audience. So there's two ideas I just want to touch on real quick. He mentions meditation and yoga. Now, rather than these being a practice of emptying ourselves, for Christians, these are opportunities to ask God to fill us anew, to meditate on the things of God, meditate on His word. Now, I have 10 copies here that I want to give away for free. All right, but I'm going to share it on Facebook too later if you want a digital copy. But if you want a physical copy, at the end, just come on up and grab one. I started at the beginning talking about eyes. I'm going to finish that way too. My eyes, they're not perfect. For me to focus on anything that's not right in front of my face, I got to add these to my routine. Helps me focus. So this week, let's listen to God to figure out what we can take away or what we can add in order to improve our focus on Him. Because your focus will be the cause or cure of your stress.